Nice of them to tell me. All right, so let's start, 2 minutes late. So my name is Andrew Klinik. I'm a group program manager on the developer platform in Windows Phone. And my team's responsibility is primarily about the application model. So think about us, we're the plumbers. We don't do any of the sexy UI. We're all about making your application run well, how it gets on the phone, and how it runs, multitasking, and really kind of making the engine below all your applications. So today, I'm really excited to be able to finally talk about a Windows Phone 8. When we've been working on this thing for 18 months now, and you know, it's just been killing us not being able to tell you about it. And you know, and it's so great you're all here, and virtually all here. So thank you for all coming. Those of you here are going to enjoy your 920 later on today, and you know, hopefully start developing some Windows Phone apps. So let's get started. So the execution model is really, you know, the fundamental. How do we run your application, and what's our number one guiding principle for the execution model? Is don't break it. There's, you know, you've invested thousands of hours in building your 120,000 apps. We're just so proud that you're coming to our platform. It's vital that we don't break your applications. So, you know, moving from Windows CE to Windows 8 is, you know, no small task. So, but we spent an awful lot of time and effort making sure that your applications will run as well as they did before, and you don't have to go recode. You don't have to port your application to Windows Phone 8. So that's been our number one goal, is don't break it. But then, you know, clearly after don't breaking it, once the apps are running, application performance is probably the most important thing that you can do for your application. It's your startup is your chance to lose your user. Is that your application could be fabulous, but if it takes 5 seconds or 10 seconds to load, then they're going to go do something else. It's attention deficit disorder has kind of come to the phone, right? So in terms of, you know, people's expectations, if applications running, it's super, super important. And especially as you start to see people switching between applications very quickly. You know, if you're a WhatsApp user or a Kick Messenger or a GroupMe user, you're using those applications a lot every day. So every second that it takes to start up your application adds up to a huge amount of time. You know, I think, was it, you know, WhatsApp is sending like 10 billion messages a month or something right now, which is just insane. So it's really, really important for all applications. So how do we do that? So we invested heavily in the startup time. So to give you some examples, we reduced the Facebook application on a Lumia 900, which I'll show you in a minute, from 12 seconds to 4 seconds, and in many cases, actually less than 4 seconds, till it's actually... So just by taking your application and running on the Windows Phone 8, you get an incredible speed performance. Why have we done that? How have we done that? Well, the execution environment, we've really spent a lot of time. It's like, how can you, learning from all the history from Windows Phone 7 and 7.5, looking at how your applications run. And the great thing about having 120,000 applications is that we can actually go try it out and see what you're doing. This is one of the greatest things, frankly, from our perspective in the marketplace. You know, if you look back to Windows before, it's like, well, I guess we'll go and try these things. We'll go buy them and see what happens. But now we have all your applications, and we can run them, and we can optimize our system for how your applications are written. And it turns out that there's fairly common practices that a lot of you are using. So there's some improvements we've made there. We've introduced something called Compile in the Cloud, and I'll get onto that in a minute. But essentially, that is going to ensure that you always get the optimized code down to the device, no matter how you actually upload it to us. Huge part of that is the core CLR. We're now sharing that with Windows. So we had .NET Compact Framework, if those of you are familiar with 7.5 and 7.0. But now we have the same core CLR that runs on Windows, it runs on Windows Phone. So you get all the great improvements that brings along. And, you know, frankly, running on dual core 1 gigahertz processor kind of helps too, right? So it's like, we've done a lot of good work, but, you know, Qualcomm, thank you. You know, having the newer chips really does help. So compiling the cloud, what does that mean? So you're moving to the core CLR brings us NGEN, this native image generator. So what that allows you to do is to compile down to real machine code. So that, you know, you can take the IL and move it to actually ARM machine code. Now, you can do that on device, and you can do that on a PC. And a PC, that's just fine. I mean, you've got an x86. It's pretty optimized for doing that. But if I'm running on a small phone, that's not what you want your ARM processor to be doing. And I mean, sure, you can go do it, but you know, it takes battery time, it uses a lot of memory, and it's time consuming, frankly. So if you were downloading your application the first time you ran it, we had to go away and engine it to get to the binary code, then the first launch, which is probably the most important time for your application, is the first time the user actually uses your app. They'd be sitting around going, oh yeah, we're compiling. So, and at which point you'd lose them and you'd hate me and life wouldn't be good. So we've introduced compiling the cloud. And what that means is you take your existing Zap, those who are familiar with Windows Phone 7, is you take your Zap, you ingest it into our marketplace, and we actually run NGED at that point for you. So that we break open your Zap, take all your DLLs, run NGEN on it, and rebuild your Zap with the native images built into it. So that means that your users are always going to be downloading the compiled version, the most optimized version that they can for your phone. Every time you ingest, we'll do that for you. Now, the great thing about this, you're probably wondering, well, that's great for Windows Phone 8. What about my 7.5 apps? They're not going to be able to run that because it's CF. We split off and go, okay, we'll keep a 7.5 version, and we'll create an 8.0 version so that the phones get the right version. You don't have to worry about any of this. Essentially, it's invisible to you. You just ingest your application just as you would do normally, and it magically gets faster. So to give you an idea of this, performance is great. I mean, we can really help on that. But you know, performance is much more of an art than it is a science. If you look back, certainly on PC applications, it's like that splash screen didn't come around because people thought it would be nice to advertise their application. It was kind of smoke and mirrors. It's like, look, I'll show you something whilst I go and actually get the app running. So how do you actually do that? So it was all about perceived performance. And really thinking about how often your user uses your application. If you're a messaging application, then your users are probably sending, 20, 30 messages an hour, probably. So every second counts at that time. So 4 seconds at that point is still way too long. Even if we've reduced it from 12 seconds to 4 seconds, still too long. Perception is really impacted by context switching. If you're switching between applications, like for example, in our first-party applications, if you're switching between mail and text messaging, clearly people are sending thousands of texts still, is that we want to get you that text messaging app as soon as we possibly can. And frankly, in the past, in Windows Phone 7, we didn't give you all the capabilities that we had that some of our first-party applications did. We always restarted your application, no matter how it was launched. Now, we introduced, resuming applications in 7.5, so you could use the task switcher and you could quickly switch back and forwards between the applications. Now, that's cool, and a lot of you took advantage of that and gaining benefits from that. The problem is, you only get that if you use the task switcher. Now, probably all of you in this room know about the task switcher. Average user, probably not thinking that holding the back button is going to bring up something useful to them. So it's a power user concept. So the power users get the benefits, normal users don't. So in Windows Phone 8, we're introducing fast application resume. And what that allows you to do is we'll always resume your application no matter where you launch it, be that from the app list, from a live tile, from a toast, every way that you invoke your application. If your application is in the back stack, i.e. it's in suspended mode, we will pull it back from that state, which means that you'll be able to switch to your application in less than a second. It's pretty much instantaneous. So if you've done fast application switching in 7.5, and the vast majority of the applications have, then you can easily take advantage of fast application resume. So if it's there, we'll reuse it. Now, of course, it's possible. We clearly want a memory-constrained device. If you're browsing or running a large game, then that's probably going to force your application out of memory. If that's happened, then we will relaunch it. So from a user's perspective, and we found that people kind of get this, is like, okay, I launch the application, sometimes it's fast, and for the applications which I use a lot, so if I'm using a messaging app or if I'm using Facebook a lot, then if I'm using it a lot, it's always in the back stack. So that it means that essentially just by usage patterns, then you get the speed benefit. So fast application resume is going to make your applications just appear to run so, so much faster. And it's something which we've had for our first-party applications, and we're now enabling for all third-party applications on Windows Phone 8. So let's take a look at a demo of that. So first thing I want to do is, how does that look? Kind of okay? Everybody knows my password now. It's very exciting. All right, so here I have, over here, I have, this is not a Lumia 920, but kind of Lumia 920 from 6 months ago. This is my actual phone. So you notice that this is a Lumia 900. So here I have, what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch the Facebook application. And so this is the Facebook application. So this is exactly the same application. I'm just going to show you the performance difference. So I'm going to, because I know it's kind of slow on the 900, I'm going to start on the 900. So I'm going to tap on 900. I'm going to tap on the Lumia on the 920. So you notice Facebook's loading. And just by running on Windows Phone 8, automatically you see this huge speed improvement. And that's cool, and everybody will get that just for free. But what if I want to actually, if I go into it again on Windows Phone 7.5, then it restarts it. If I go back to the Facebook app on here, you notice it automatically comes back because it resumes because it's already there. So you know, this, and just to give you an idea, so I'm just going to switch to the PC, is like, this is not difficult for you to enable. So what we constantly decided not to do this for every application by default. And the reason being is that it's important for you to own your experience. It might be that you've kind of assumed that people are always going to be creating a new instance of your application. We want you to be able to opt in. We want to ensure that the user experience remains consistent, and you get to control what you want to be able to do. So here I have a Windows in Visual Studio 2012. You can tell because it's 2012 up here. I'm not going to show you all the XAML stuff. There's a whole bunch of applications, sessions out there. And look, people are, look at that. Where is the overflow room? I have no idea. Tweeting away. So here I am in the application manifest. And in Visual Studio 2012, we have a nice GUI representation of the manifest. But I wanted to show you exactly what you want to do. So I just take my standard manifest. And all I have to do is say activation policy equals resume. And just by doing that, I've now told the operating system, when you load me up, apply the application, the resume application policy. Now, contrary to, you know, clearly it was on the internet, so it must be true. There was rumors that you had to do, you know, had to make this a background location application that would be kind of weird. You don't have to do that. This is built into Windows Phone 8. You just have to set the activation policy, and you get to control it. Now, the activation policy by default is replace. But we can move this, you can just set it to resume. And that's it. That's all you have to do. Just ingest your application and you get the immediate speed benefit. So that's the work we've been doing to ensure that, you know, your applications run as fast as they possibly can. So here it is, protect your user experience. Now there's actually a session, Thursday at 8:30 in the morning. I apologize for that. Don't know who did the scheduling for a dev conference at 8:30 in the morning. It was Larry, apparently, right up here. So complain to Larry. Which we'll go into quite a bit more detail about this. And Adina, who's on my team, is the actual expert on this. But this is a huge thing, and I encourage every single application to go ahead and do this because everybody gets the benefit. So multitasking performance, honestly, when things are running in the background, people. You know, it's a perception thing. If people tap on the icon, the icon comes back, and the app comes back so quick, they kind of assume it's running in the background. Whether or not, it's actually pretty difficult to understand if something's running in the background. So one thing that you can tell if it's running in the background is background location tracking apps. So these are the types of applications. I think the obvious one is Nokia Drive, which we particularly love. Nokia's sat at the front right now. In terms of, you know, right now on Windows Phone 7.5, if I do Nokia Drive, it's great. It shows me where to go. But if I get a text message, because clearly I'm in the passenger seat, I'm not texting and driving. But or even if I just go back to the start screen, then the application gets unloaded. What we wanted to do enable in Windows Phone 8 is to enable those types of applications to continue running in the background. And what we also wanted to ensure is make it as simple as possible for those applications to be able to go do that. Azure, probably aware, we have an agent model, which is great, which gives us some guarantees. But it does make it more difficult for you to write your application. You have to split up into multiple processes. So what we've done with background location tracking apps is if you're actively tracking location in the background, we will allow one application to continue running at all times. So the way you enable this, and I won't show you in the manifest on this, is you just add this background execution element to your default task, and you just say execution type equals location tracking. And that tells the operating system, it's like, okay, this application's going to be running in the background. But what we do is we actually detect whether you're actively tracking location, too. So, for example, if I'm running Nokia Drive, and it's running in the background, and I've got to my destination, I don't want it to continue running in the background, you know, because polling my GPS is a pretty battery-expensive thing to do, which is fine when I'm in the car, because I got it plugged in, and it's what I want to do. I'm making that choice. When I've got to my destination, Nokia Drive or any application just say, okay, I'm not going to track location right now, at which point we'll suspend it just like any other application. So the key thing here is that you really don't have to change anything in your application. You just mark it as this is a location tracking application, active and track location, and we'll do all the hard work for you, and we'll run it in the background. Now, different from agents, we don't make any guarantees. We'll make our best effort on this. So that we'll keep it running as long as we possibly can. But there are times where, you know, if you go browse, or if you go run Angry Birds Space, which is coming soon, that's probably going to put memory pressure on your phone. And at that point, you probably don't care about how you're going to go get to somewhere on Nokia Drive. It's more important that we keep the foreground experience going. So at that point, we will optimize for the foreground experience, and we will unload. Now, the good news is we actually tell you we're going to go unload. So if you're in the background, you can tell a user, you can maybe pop a toast saying, hey, I'm about to go away. Do you really want to do this? So to keep the user informed about what's going on. And again, Thursday, 8:30, there's a session that goes into quite a bit of detail on this. So I want to show you a quick demo of this. Now, I really struggled. How the heck am I going to demo background location when I'm stood here going nowhere? Right? So with the wonders of our new emulator. So we have a new emulator in Windows Phone 8, which runs Hyper-V. So it's great. It does mean you need a great PC. Well, not a great PC, pretty cheap PC. But you do need a SLAT-enabled PC, which is a great excuse for your boss to buy you a new Windows 8 PC. But on here, I have an application called Bike Tracker. And I have to turn up my sound here a little bit. So Bike Tracker is written by a program manager at Microsoft. And you know, this is a kind of classic thing, is that you're going off, he's a big biker, and it basically tracks where you're going. Now, the cool thing here is it uses the new Nokia Maps, so it's offline, which is kind of cool too. So, but all you have to do is you just hit play when you start off on your track, and it will actually track where you're going. Now, then I was struggling, it's like, okay, so how am I going to show this? Because I could show you, like, this is where I went. I mean, I thought about running around in here, but no, that wasn't that exciting. I thought about getting Adam to run around inside. It would have been even more exciting. But in the emulator, we have this ability to track location and to fake it up, basically. So so I created one earlier. Yes. Now, I have one here called Armstrong. So it's a biking app. I figured, you know, why not? Let's see what would Lance do if he was riding around. So I've just realized that I don't have the audio plugged in, so I'm just going to plug in the audio. So I'm going to hit play on this. Now, what I'm going to do now is, you've noticed I've got a whole bunch of locations here. And I can zoom in that, you know, that they're kind of around here. But because it's Lance, right, I mean, he goes pretty quick, right? So so I'm going to hit play. And I hope. Is it too soon for Lance? I don't know. But so hopefully it should be. So my average speed is 19. Well, it should be saying something. Oh, it's not saying it. Oh. But it's running in the background. You can tell it's running in the background because it's got three up here. But I flip on this, and every other time I've tried it, it's played. So when it runs in the background, the application, I'm going to try it again. Let's try it again. Darn thing. Come on. Maybe if I unplug this out. Oh, there you go.
1 minute, 5 seconds. Average speed.
Can you hear that?
170.3 miles per hour.
There you go. So it's Lance, right? So he's so the key thing here is you get to control how you want your application to run in the background. You don't have to do anything different. You can 267.1 miles an hour right now. So, you can do an awful lot of things here, and it enables you can track location. You have access to the speech APIs. I'm going to stop this because Lance gets a bit boring after a while. So, so traffic is now paused. So, you can use speech in the background as if you are being unloaded. You can keep the user informed as to what's going on. And the great thing about it is that, you know, it's just one manifest entry setting for you to do and one API call, and you can go do that. And we really think it's going to enable a whole set of new applications that just frankly aren't possible today on Windows Phone. And we really, really hope it will get rid of running under the lock. I mean, nobody loves an app running under the lock. It's been abused so many times, so this allows you to actually take control of it and build the right applications. So that's background location. Now, if you notice, I briefly showed the maps. Now, we're working really closely with Nokia on this. So we have the Bing Maps control that's still supported, that's there, so your existing applications continue running. But the new Maps control is really using some great technology by Nokia. So you get offline, you get vector-based maps. You get the four cartographic map modes. Yeah, I have a geography degree. I never thought I'd be able to use this again. I get kind of excited about the cartographic map modes, right? So being able to really, you can go 3D. You can take advantage of all the great stuff that Navtech and Nokia have done. Build it directly into your application. And the offline mode alone really kind of makes it spectacular on this. Is that, you know, if you're riding through the mountains on your bike, you're not going to have a cell phone connection. So being able to have those things for apps like for Bike Tracker to be able to take advantage of that. As you can tell, clearly I ride in the mountains a lot. So this is a really spectacular way for you to do it and super simple for you to be able to do. There is a controls session later on this week, which will go into more detail about the maps control as well and how you can take advantage of that. So that's kind of, I've covered how our applications are running and how we're making it easier for you to build better applications. But, the key thing about Windows Phone is how do you integrate with the phone? If you look at our kind of value proposition for Windows Phone compared to everybody else, is having this completely integrated, seamless experience. And, I think we did an excellent job with first party and did an okay job with third parties. But really, how can we double down on that and enable you to integrate even deeper with the phone? So one of the main ways to do this is VoIP. Is that, if I'm getting a Skype call or a Tango call or a Viber call, there's not many of those vendors out there, but as a user, I don't want to, as a developer, I don't want to have to go build my own call answering screen. As a user, I don't want to have to learn a completely different user experience to be able to do with that, to deal with that. So what we've done is we've built in really, really deep VoIP integration. So you can integrate with the phone incoming call notification. We can enable video calls, which is kind of a given. But enable background audio calls. Currently, Skype on Windows Phone 7.5 or any of the VoIP applications, if I go and check my text messages, then the call drops. Clearly not what you wanted to do. So we're enabling background audio, and we're enabling enhanced push notification support. So this has enabled Skype. You can don't even have to be running Skype. And I can accept a phone call will just come in. It will pop up just like a phone call. And super simple for you to be able to do. And we're building on our agent model here because think about quality of service is really, really important here. Is that we could have taken the simple approach to say, we'll just try to keep the app running in the background as long as you want. But heck, people, frankly, are going to run games and Skype. They want to be able to trash talk. You saw some of that with Steve Guggenheim's thing this morning with that Where's Perry thing and with Skype going. Well, why can't I do that? My son is kind of addicted to Minecraft and trash-talking his friends, even though he's 8, which is a bit scary. So how do we be able to do that and provide a quality of service so that we can guarantee that that call keeps running? Because people don't really, normal people have no real definition between a phone call and a Skype call, is that people are expecting that just to work. So This is the most dangerous part of my demo. So Windows Phone is complete. This hardware is not. The 920, which you're going to get this evening, is complete. The proximity sensor on this thing is, how can I put it? Obstinate is probably the best way I can put it. I'm just going to minimize these things and switch to my PC. And hopefully, USB video out is obstinate too, it would appear. Okay, there we go. All right. So this is my Windows Phone. My wife in the middle is the most important thing to me. My kids also. But Sean, who's on my team, is calling me. So you notice I wasn't running Skype, so I'm going to hit answer. And it's going to load. And there's Sean. Now, Sean is back there somewhere. I'm not sure where he is. Oh, there he is, right there, look. So the key thing here is I get to see Sean in all his glory. Now, he's running this on an 8X, so, you know, he gets wide-angle view. And if he goes sideways, it will look really weird on the screen. But you see how wide that angle is, which is, you know, really great for Skype. Not great for video out, but looks pretty good on my phone. I want to be able to video chat, but he's going to ask me something. It's like, well, I want to go check something out. So I can click on that. If you notice, Skype is still running in the background. Sean will no doubt tell me that he can still hear me, but yeah, there's a microphone here, might help, right? But but honestly, if he's somewhere else, it would work. But, you know, I can go into the People Hub, and Twitter's going bananas, Justin, right here. Let's go find Sean in the People Hub. And it's still running. So I'm going down in here, and did I just go straight past him? There you go, thank you for the alphabetical advice. So if you notice here, I have Sean Henry, which is Sean's lovely photo on Facebook, but also have Sean Henry in here. And this is something we've been working closely with the contacts team, is enabling third-party applications to integrate with the contacts list. So if you notice here, it's pretty small to see, but this is Sean Henry from Skype. So Skype is writing into the contacts database. So we are now enabling you to create your own contact store within the contacts database. Now, if you're familiar with Windows Phone, I probably want to go link this. So I can link it and click it with Sean, and now he's linked together. So now, hopefully, I should just see Sean Henry. So the great thing here is even if you're not a VoIP provider, integrating with the contacts database is really pretty important. And I can, if Twitter wasn't getting bananas, I can click back on Sean. Now, and we go back into, I'm mentioned a lot, apparently. Now, if you notice when we come back, is that we actually turn off video for privacy reasons, because you might unlock and who knows what's actually happening around you. So I can click here, and wow, the camera really does add 10 pounds, doesn't it? So I'm going to turn that off. So I'm going to click off here, and so Sean should get a lot of credit. Sean was one of the driving forces behind Skype, and thanks to the Skype team for doing that. The VoIP integration is really important. Now, clearly not all of you are writing VoIP applications, right? So I understand that. But being able to do it in such a way that, clearly we have like 8 billion reasons why we think that Skype is great, right? But is that, there's also regional, Viber is huge in Eastern Europe. So Tango is huge in South Korea. We can't expect us to, all of the Microsoft offerings to work in every single country. So we want to ensure that the platform which we built for the Microsoft products work just as well as it is for third parties too. So integration with first-party experience is great, but what about third-party integration? What if you wanted to talk between applications on the phone itself, between third parties? So one of the things we've added is custom schemes. Now, it's kind of weird to say we added this. Custom schemes were at first introduced at the second PDC I ever went to, which is the PDC in 1996. This is such a long time ago. Steve Jobs went to the PDC. He didn't even work for Apple at that point. Steve Jobs was up there. So this is the ability for you to register custom URIs to your application. Now, that seems really simple, but incredibly powerful for what it enables you to do. So, for example, Skype call on Andrew Clinic will call me. Everyone knows my Skype address. Please don't all call me. So if you want to build Skype integration into your application, you just have to launch an URL that says Skype colon and then the user, and automatically we'll switch to that application. The cool thing is what we'll do is if the application is not installed, if nothing is for that, we'll go check with the marketplace and see which applications are available for that. So that, and this is a great viral mechanism for your applications. People start sharing these URLs, means they start sharing your application too, so that they can build that into it. And it works in the browser, it works anywhere where an URL works within the phone. Likewise on Facebook, FB profile, this bizarre number apparently is me. So you can do that. So this allows for really rich integration between applications, because you can add methods to this. This is a standard URI. So if you look at the Facebook application, they have something like 150 methods. So you can say send message, all kinds of stuff like that. So think about this, you can open up your application to allow other apps to communicate with you. Now, obviously, it doesn't make sense for everybody. But if it enables some really great scenarios, and the viral marketing alone, I think, will make this and a great user experience. And file types, pretty important. If you have file types, you want to be able to do that. So, for example, the PDF reader. In Windows Phone 7.5, there was, yeah, frankly, you know, it was kind of hard-coded in there that it was a PDF reader. But so if you wanted to create another PDF reader, then there was only one. It would only work with one. It was kind of built into the operating system. But, you know, what if you have your own file extension you want to be able to deal with? So, for example, if you look at the location tracking, there's a whole bunch of file formats that location and running trackers have that you want to be able to share around with email. You want to be able to send that to the web. You can now register your own file types on Windows Phone. And there's a whole session on this a more reasonable time on Friday, 12:45, that goes into complete detail about how to go build these things. So I'm really excited about this because it allows applications to talk to each other and opens up your application to really start powering the phone. So here's an example of a slide that didn't work the way I thought it would. So making a Skype call is, you know, the Facebook application. I click on Peter Bergman, and then it just calls Skype Peter Bergman, and then you get a guy with really strange hair showing up. But the key thing is your application just needs to, you don't have to do anything new. If you can launch a URI, you can launch Skype. Questions at the end. So that's great. So you can start building applications, and integrating between the two. But what about data? You want to be able to store data on your phone. And there's kind of two types of data, really. Structured data. Now, clearly, we introduced SQL Server and linked to SQL in Windows Phone 7.5. Now, that's great. The feedback we got is, like, a lot of people like SQL Server. And if you love SQL Server and linked to SQL, then that's a great solution. We're going to continue supporting that. But, you know, a lot of the feedback really was you were looking for alternatives. You know, let's be honest. If you're developing for Windows Phone, you're probably also developing for Android and iOS. And if you're developing for Android and iOS, there's only one database you're going to go use, and that's SQLite. So how do we enable that? So we've been working really closely with the SQLite team. And back in June, when we first announced Windows Phone, we said, hey, it's coming. Today, SQLite is making available the final version of SQLite directly for Windows Phone, so you can start building it into your applications for free. We love SQLite. It's great. You know, it gives you a lot of control. It also makes it really easy for you to build applications and reuse a lot of your technology. If you're porting from other operating systems to Windows Phone, it makes it a whole bunch easier for you to be able to use. So it's available today for Windows Phone. Now, the great thing about this is the SQLite for Windows Phone is exactly the same SQLite that's available for Windows 8. Using our native platform that we've been developing, and there's other sessions about that, the SQLite guys have been able to write exactly the same code, runs on Windows Phone and Windows 8. The great thing for you is then you can just take one dependency and build that when you're building between the two application platforms. So we think people are going to like SQLite on Windows Phone. Now, that's great, but what about you just want to write an XML file? You just want to be able to an isolated storage. It's great, but you know you could be running on a 4 gigabyte phone. In Windows Phone 8, we've introduced the ability to add SD cards There, some of you remember we had SD cards in Windows Phone 7.5 and 7.0. This time we did it right. And so in 7.0, it kind of tried to merge it all together, and you couldn't take the thing out. You know, it just didn't really work from an end user perspective. I expect to be able to take my SD card out and go stick it in my PC. That's what normal people do, right? So, we're adding the ability in Windows Phone 8 for you to read write to that SD card. Now, there's important things for you to consider here. Isolated storage, we guarantee that no other applications can go look at your isolated storage. Now, on the SD card, kind of the Wild Wild West. You can put whatever you want on there. So, you know, if you care about your data being isolated to your application, keep it in isolated storage. But if you just want to store some stuff or some temporary files, or frankly, if you want to write stuff out to share with other applications, put it on the SD card. So it enables you to take advantage of that. Now, of course, not all Windows phones support SD cards. But you also find on the lower-end phones that, you know, price is really important. One of the ways the OEMs can optimize on that price is putting less flash in the phone itself, and you can go build SD cards that are dirt cheap. We all know that. So if you have a lot of data, so for example, if you're writing a mapping application, I probably don't want you to go store all that 4 gigabytes of data on my main storage, because that's kind of where my calendar and email is going to go. You can go stick it on the SD card. I showed this briefly with how do you integrate with device data. I showed this with Skype. Is that apps can now create contacts visible in the People Hub. And you get read-write access to the app's own contacts. One of the things we wanted to do here, if we didn't want to kind of basically open the door for people just messing up your contacts database. There's privacy concerns here. You don't want applications just coming along. I think we all saw, you know, the debacle last year is like apps reading from your contacts database, storing it in places you shouldn't. So we actually provide capabilities such that the user is in control about applications being able to read from the contacts database. So we still allow you to read to that. But what we do is we essentially create your own contact store for your application. So you can read write to that. And it's pretty simple. You just create a new contact store, you can see in the code here, and just have at it. You can add, and there's a schema for that, and you can build into that and use the standard linking that's available in the contacts so that all the users expect to work. So that today, you know, we have Facebook, Windows Live, LinkedIn, Twitter, is that, you know, you can add your application, and when you add your application, you can write to that contact store, and the user expects it to work that way. So really thinking about this from a user perspective is how do we enable you to add to that? And likewise, we also give you access to calendars, so you can read from the calendars. And this time, rather than being able to write directly to the calendar, we have a task that you can actually create a calendar item. So again, thinking about this from a user perspective, we don't want applications just coming spamming your calendar just for the heck of it. So we give you, so the user does get to control what access there is to the calendar. I'd like to thank my kids for giving me a cold on Friday. That was really special. You saw that Joe Belfiore announced live applications yesterday. And what does that mean? Is it another marketing term? Well, of course it's another marketing term. But it actually means something in terms of what you can do for your applications. So the first most obvious thing, which every single application should do, is taking advantage of live tiles. Many of you are doing this already. It is the iconic experience on Windows Phone. And we wanted to really kind of expand on this and ensure that we're giving you as much control over this as we give you to third parties. And this time I'd say we were 99% there. There's a couple of things we still want to go do. We want to extend it. But this time we're really giving you full control to it. Is that in Windows Phone 8, we have this ability to have 3 tile sizes now. So the standard medium tile size is the one we all know and love today. But we now have a small tile size, which allows the user a lot more flexibility in what they can show on the screen. We also have this wide tile size, which really enables the user, if they really care about your application, you can really start to build some great experiences with that. So we're giving you access to all 3 of those types. We're allowing you all the different types of templates that we had for our first parties as well. So this time we have Flip, which is kind of similar to the Flip template that we had before, so you can flip to the back of the tile. We have iconic, which is on the second row here, so that you could, if you notice here, you can put all your information at the top, and your icon goes there, and it scales with the sizes, so that you notice the notification count. You don't have to do anything. It does that automatically for you. And then finally, you can cycle, which allows you to do some really great cycling of images and build some really great experiences. And the cool thing about the image stuff is if you don't like iconic, if you really want to go nuts and have your own, then you can build, with an image, you can build exactly the experience you want for your tile. So it enables you complete flexibility to be able to deal with that. So, you know, live tiles, we've had that before. So we've done a much better job, I think, of providing you, you know, the number one feedback was like, hey, I want to be able to do what first parties do. But, you know, to make it really live, and to make a real live app, is integrating with a lock screen is probably the most important thing you can go do. And what does this allow you to do? So there's two main things here, is that I can set my background image to my application, from your application there. A user can choose one application. So there can be, you know, as many applications as they want. Say I can access the lock screen. User gets to choose the application they care about. And again, the key here is the user's in control. We didn't want applications kind of fighting over each other in terms of spamming the lock screen. The lock screen is probably your most personal moment. And then, in addition to that, we also wanted to be able to add notification counts at the bottom. In Windows Phone 7.5, we had the ability to have notifications for our first-party applications. Great, but you know, if I really don't care about messaging, one of the few people who don't, but I care about WhatsApp or care about Facebook more, I can now choose which applications I want to be able to do. And I, there's five slots, and it comes pre-populated with the first-party applications. The user's totally in control. They can choose your application to put in that. So you have notification counts now. You can now expose that out to the user, and the user can choose which is the most important application to them. They personalize the experience and make the phone their own. So how does this work? So there's a control panel, or within the application, there's an API for you to be able to do that. So the user can do it outside your application or actually within it. So you can update the wallpaper whilst your app is running, obviously, but using a background agent is probably the most interesting thing. So, you know, as you know, we have background agents that can run every half an hour. So, you know, run your agent and pull down the lock screen that you want and update the image whenever you want to be able to do that. So you can set the schedule to do that. You can download single images from the internet on a specific interval, and we'll go automatically do that for you. Just set the URL. Or you can actually go and do it for yourself or cycle through a whole bunch of images in the isolated store. So I want to give you a demo of this. And good Lord, the world is tweeting galore. So, but I'm going to show you Facebook. And hopefully you can see that okay. So okay, Facebook's up and running. So you notice here I can make Facebook bigger. So on the big one, what it does, if you're familiar with the Facebook application, you can set the Facebook itself, what's on, you know, on my timeline. So the Facebook application now shows a speaker going bananas. This is my wife and kids last Christmas, and you know my son's really into Roald Dahl right now. So it gives you my latest status message as it flips over. So Roald Dahl is a genius. If anyone was unaware of that, and I can make this smaller. So medium size, and if I have notifications, it would show up automatically there. So I'm gonna make it small again because that's kind of. I won't attempt to do that. But if I go to my lock screen, turn it off. My phone won't turn off. Well, if my phone would turn off, this is why this is not shipping. Imagine the lock screen with my beautiful kids on it. So let's try some. I'm just going to try one more time here. I'm going to settings and lock screen. I'm going to try it. I'm going to force it. So here I'm going to set my, but you know, given the hurricane, I'm going to try CNN. And if you notice, the CNN app has top stories, so they're automatically updating this. They're using, and it will flip, I think. So, you know, Superstorm Sandy. And if I'm really lucky, oh, well, you get the picture. Well, you don't, because it's not showing. But darn it. Well, at least Skype worked. I was not expecting Skype to work. So, you know, really think about how you can delight your users and how you can really kind of enrich their lives with Windows Phone and being able to do these live applications. It's really, really simple to do. There's a whole session on this on Thursday, I believe, in terms of that goes into detail exactly what's going on. So I want to wrap up in terms of looking at enterprise. So, you know, we've been doing all this cool consumer features, but, you know, frankly, people are here to make money. So how do we, you know, being able to provide an enterprise solution is something, you know, somewhat surprisingly, that Microsoft has not really attempted to do in Windows Phone up to now. So we've spent a lot of time in Windows Phone 8 enabling it an enterprise story. And I think you'll find this interesting, even if you're not an enterprise developer, and I'll go into that in a second. So the enterprise story in Windows Phone 8 is in really, you know, there's kind of two parts to it. There's device management, and this is, you know, frankly, this is stuff that, as a user, I kind of hate, but is that this allows your IT department to control your application. So there's a whole, your phone, they can set policy, they can set the dreaded pin lock, which I hate, but, you know, it's very important. So you'll be able to set policies to be applied and updated, which is, you know, really important, you know, for adoption for Windows Phone into corporations. Very, very important to do that. The other thing it enables you to do is to distribute applications. And in combination with device management, we're enabling you now to distribute applications from wherever you want to put it. So clearly, if you have an enterprise application, the marketplace is probably not where you wanted to store your application. You don't want everybody to be able to get to your applications. So you can now take your applications and deploy them however you feel fit. So that can be as simple as an email, it can be on a website, or you can write an application, or even use system management servers, such as Microsoft's Intune or System Center. Now, the cool thing about the device management servers is they can keep your applications up to date. So the user still gets to control which applications they want to install, because quite often these are their phone they're bringing to your corporation. But if I'm installing the HR application or the expense tracker application, I want to make sure that it's always up to date. So what you can do with system management server is you can essentially send a push notification, and it will keep that application up to date without the user having to be involved, which is a really great scenario for that. Now, obviously, not everybody will have a large enough organization to do system management. And frankly, you know, it's quite often now that people work at multiple organizations. If you're a consultant, for example, Microsoft has a whole bunch of vendors that work at Microsoft. They want to have access to Microsoft's corporate applications to do their job. But if you work for Vault, for example, then there's probably Vault applications you want to be able to do. So we now allow you to be part of multiple organizations as you start to be able to do that. Now, there's a session that goes into extreme detail on this on Friday at 2:30. And we'll go into detail on this, but a couple of things I want to show you. And the first one is the company hub. And this is, if you think about Windows Phone, it's all about delighting users and providing an experience that goes beyond what you expect with just standard icons. So I really wish I turned off Twitter notifications before I started. So we have this concept of the company hub. And what a company hub is, we provided all the APIs available for you to build your own experience that matches what you want to do for your users. So we've actually used this at the moment. You know, people, we've been providing phones for reviewers, for The Verge and those types of guys. And what we wanted to show them what a company hub looked like. So we wrote an apps for reviewers company hub. So we set up this fake little app, this fake corporation for them to use. And this is the application. So it's just a standard Windows Phone application, some Panorama. And of course, it's from Microsoft, so it has to be called Contoso. Lord knows why we have to go Contoso. So, and what this does is that, you know, I have, here's all the applications that are available to me. Now, of course, this is for reviewers, so we were given them early versions of applications that weren't available in the marketplace yet. But these would be your typical IT applications. And then it also shows me which applications are installed, so I can launch it directly from within my application. So think of this as a one-stop shop for you being able to get your applications. So I can, you know, go straight to cut the rope, because clearly that's a big corporate application, right? So the great thing here is that, you know, we're not allowing you to integrate with your own applications. I love cut the rope, but we're not going to go through that right now. So I'll use the task switcher to go back to the Contoso hub. And that's great. We're allowing you to install applications from wherever you want. But, you know, because it's an application, you can build whatever you want. So for this one, you know, this is the Contoso news, which happens to be a letter from Joe Belfiore telling them, hey, go use this stuff. But, you know, alert centers is like, hey, you know what, my Exchange server's dead. Or in this case, look, Office 2013 is available. And then finally, you know, we're thinking about this as like self-service IT is a big kind of approach for what's going on right now. Is in Microsoft, you have the ability to set your picture for your contact ID. I have no idea how to do that. There's a room downstairs where you go and get your Microsoft badge, and they take awful photos of you. And that's what the whole company gets to see, this terrible photo of me 15 years ago. I was younger, had more hair, you know. But if I have a phone, I've got this camera right in front of me. So why couldn't I just be able to take this camera and then take a photo of the camera and automatically upload it to IT, enabling users to be able to take advantage of being self service. Now, originally we had a photo of Sean here. Clearly he wasn't photogenic enough for our marketing people, so now we have Anna, who is considerably better looking than Sean. But who would have that as their corporate IT thing? I don't know. But the notion here is the company hub is that you can go and build experiences that match the requirements for your corporation. Now, you're probably wondering, is like, well, why is this important to me? You know, I'm building consumer applications. Why would I even care about enterprise? And I think the key thing for enterprise enables you to do is really enables a flexible deployment for pretty much everybody. If you're building applications, and so, for example, you might have a small team, and you want to be able to get the latest daily build out to your testers. At the moment, you have to go and dev unlock their phone, and there's a whole palaver ensuring that works. Or maybe you have external testers and you're not ready to put it out onto to marketplace. Maybe it doesn't even pass ingestion yet. You just want to try some different UI screens. You want to be able to see what people like. You can set up your own enterprise and invite the people that you want to be able to be available on that, so you can do daily builds. So I think this is actually important for everybody, every developer, because it enables you to go distribute these applications. Now, this has been an interesting experience for Sean and I in terms of Joe Belfiore has realized this. And now he's like, oh, I want every single app. How do I get this? So, you know, be careful how you use it. So the key thing here is it enables you to get the applications and the builds, enables you to share between your team very, very simply. And, you know, you don't have to build a website, email, or even SD card. We now enable you so you can put a Zap on an SD card, plug it into the phone, and the phone will automatically see that and go, hey, do you want to install this Zap that was on that SD card? If it's signed, the way that enterprise works is that when you sign up, you get a token, and then you get to sign your application with that. So as long as you've signed it, so there is control, and obviously it's up to you how many people you want to give that token to. So you want to be a little bit careful about that. But it enables you a much more flexible mechanism for distributing your applications. So in summary, we've really spent a lot of time ensuring that your applications run as fast as they possibly can, ensuring that, you know, all the investment that you've done on Windows Phone is going to pay off even more so in Windows Phone 8. Fast app resume helps every application. If you take away one thing from this presentation, is enable fast application resume in your app. Your users will love you for it. It's probably the most important thing you can do in terms of getting a performance benefit for doing nothing. And multitasking improvement enable key new app experiences, be that VoIP or background location. And then the live tiles and live applications really enable you to build better applications, better app experiences, and take advantage of the wave that's coming from Windows 8 and enabling your users to have much richer experiences. And then finally, enterprise deployment enables you to open up whole new markets. If enterprise is a market you're very interested in, you can go do that. But also provides a flexible distribution model that allows every developer to do a better job. So that's the end of my presentation. I think we have about 15 minutes for questions. And so if you do have questions, there are mics down the middle. I forgot to announce your thing. So.
All right. I just wanted to ask, when you showed the URL thing, so basically your app can publish a URL, what happens if the app is not installed? Are you suggesting to buy it in the store, or what are you? Yeah. How are you handling that?
So the question was, is, say I had Skype colon Andrew Clinic, and I didn't have Skype installed, what's the user experience? What we do is we go query with the marketplace and say, okay, which app has registered for Skype colon? And then we'll prompt the user saying, hey, do you want to install Skype? And then the next obvious question is like, well, probably unlikely for Skype, but what if there's multiple apps? Like, for example, PDF Viewer, there might be the Adobe one, there's a Microsoft one. Is like, which one do you choose? Maybe there's multiple ones. So we allow the user to choose between that. Yeah, so, and our experience on that is that if you look at Windows, we've been doing it since 96, is that theoretically, multiple applications can kind of jockey for position on that. But it's a little like Wikipedia. It shouldn't work, but it does. Is that the right thing happens and the right applications launch to the top. So it enables you to do that.
Hi. Early in your presentation, you mentioned Windows Phone 7.5.
Yeah.
Does the SDK still support that platform?
Yeah. Or? That's a great question. Does our tool still support 7.5? And yes, absolutely they do. I'll show you. I think I just spelled my password wrong. So we support both. You can still continue using your dev tools for that, and we provide the emulator for Windows Phone 7.5 and also for Windows Phone 8, wherever you went.
Okay, so my question is, you can integrate with VoIP apps. Can you do the same with messaging, the messages app?
So the question is, so we got integration with VoIP. What about messaging? And the answer is kind of maybe. It's a fine line between what's a VoIP application and what's a messaging app. And as you look at how many messages sent with Skype as well as voice. So our recommendation is that you can have 4 VoIP apps on the phone at any one time, and it's kind of a user gets to choose which ones are those 4, is that we really recommend that you use push for messaging, primarily because for example, Skype is using push Skype went through a significant re-architecture this time around to use push because of the battery impact on it, is that it makes for a significant difference on that. And yes, it would be really nice to run messages in the background. But our experience in monitoring the battery uses on that is that users kind of like it, but then they're like, what the heck happened? Why did my battery just disappear? And so you can do it. I would highly, highly recommend that you use push to get the messages across. And we've done significant investments on push this time to make it much, much faster. And there's a push session later on this week as well.
You were talking about the addition of the ability to put a removable SD card in Windows 8. Now, for apps using that, would you be able to allow the user to perhaps like peruse the contents of the SD card, like a file explorer almost, and to, for example, if you're browsing the web and you want to save a PDF so that you could then access it from later, would the user be able to say, okay, put this in my downloads folder and then open that through some sort of file system browser and then open that in an application.
So the question is, with the SD card, do we have a file system browser on the device, essentially? And the answer is no, we don't. Is that we still store, you know, into your documents folder, which is on the device flash. Now, that being said, you can write in your application, you can write a file system browser for the SD card in your application.
Okay. Thank you.
In the calendar, when you add a third party application, adds entries in the calendar, can they be isolated so they can be handled just for them own?
Right. So the question is, when I add a calendar item, can it be isolated, kind of like the contacts? And the answer is no in this release. So we just didn't have time to do that.
Okay, I had a question about company apps. Basically, when you push enterprise apps, you want to auto-update it. You mentioned you send some sort of push notification to automatically update it.
Uh-huh.
Can you share some more details on it and how actually to do that?
The question is, I think the question is like, how does it automatically update the applications?
Correct.
So the best answer for that is go to the enterprise session on Friday. The built-in way to do it is using System Center or Intune, or there's other third-party management systems that use the standard mechanism to do that, which I believe is based on SyncML, to automatically push out the updates. Now, that being said, there's no reason why you couldn't, even if you didn't want to do that, you couldn't send a push notification to your user. User taps on the toast and it automatically updates the application. But
okay, so the push notification is just to communicate there is an update.
Yeah, well, and if they tap on that, then it could launch your application, which did the update.
Then the updates it. Yeah. Okay.
Or you use System Center or the device management software that does it automatically for you.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
Hi. If you're developing two applications, say for example you've got a messaging application and a game, and you're using the contact storage. If you wanted to just restrict, for example, in your game, the contact storage to the contact storage from your messaging application, can you do that? Is it interchangeable?
Yeah. So the question is, can I share a contact store between two different applications?
Yes.
And unfortunately, this time around, no. It's something which we're getting quite a few requests on, being able to share between essentially publishers, if you could have a contact store for the publisher. Unfortunately, can't do that this time around.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you at the back. Sorry.
Is there any plans or is there already something in place to allow authentication to the Live ID through some nice manner? I know you've got a lot of SkyDrive integration, but I have an app where I have to actually bring up the Live ID sign-in, and then I have to save the cookies that they put in, and it's a real pain.
So the answer, the question is do you have a good way to do Live ID auth without me having to messing around with OAuth and cookies? And the answer, unfortunately, is no this time around. It is something which we're looking at for the future. It's an extremely painful point for us. We didn't make it.
Yeah, I'd just like to voice not only your Live ID, but I could see Google provider, Facebook.
Yep.
I'd really love to see multiple identities federated some way in a way that when my app says, I need to talk to this account, the system says, hey, are you okay with this? But there's no reason for me to ever type in my password again.
No, we're 100% in agreement with you.
Okay. Yeah.
We didn't do it, but we are 100% agreement.
Can we run multiple company hubs in a phone?
The question is, can I run multiple company hubs on the phone? Yes, you can enroll. I'm not sure how many. Sean, do you know if there's a limit to how many companies you can enroll with? I'm sure there is a limit, but you can have as many. A company hub is just an application, and a company hub is limit. So you can enroll in multiple organizations. It's up to you how many you want.
What's the cost to enroll in that?
I was hoping I wasn't going to get that question. I'm sure very competitive. I don't know. So we'll find out. We'll certainly have that answer at the Friday session. It is the last session on Friday, so quite why we put enterprise as the last session on Friday, I don't know. But it's not expensive, is my understanding. You know, the question is there a way to create calendar entries? And yes, there is. If you noticed on the contacts, there was an API access so you can automatically write it in without user consent because it's per application. On the calendar, we didn't get to actually create a separate store for the calendar. So we have a task, so you can fill out the task, but the user has to accept it.
Has there been a thought to enabling parental controls across the system so that individual apps can be unlocked in a system-wide way for safety?
The question is if we had any thoughts on parental controls and being able to do that. I kind of feel you're coming from the future. Yes.
I'm hoping you're going to say no, it's already there.
Yes. And a second painful thing we haven't done, yes. So as you saw, Kids Corner is a kind of
very
first
nice
step to do that. Okay, well, thank you for coming. I appreciate it.